In Science and Health, in the trial found at the conclusion of the chapter on Christian Science Practice, Mrs. Eddy says that in the case of the man who was on trial for liver complaint, quote, the body committed no offense, close quote. And she refers to the body as, quote, the helpless, innocent body, close quote, tortured by personal sense, operating through false belief. And here is a point which will help you very much in your work of healing. To know that the body is not the offender in any case, and that it simply and innocently manifests that which is imposed upon it by personal sense operating through false belief. Personal sense could be designated as animal magnetism in any of its forms. Do not become confused with the thought that personal sense and mortal man are one. They are not. Personal sense is the claim of mortal mind which operates through the claim of false belief on mortal man or the human body. So we can conceive of the human body as free from any of the beliefs of personal sense which manifest themselves as sickness, poverty, heredity, etc. The innocent human body is a concept of the human mind which has not taken to itself those secondary beliefs which manifest themselves as sickness, poverty, and the like. I have often quoted this particular passage before from Unity of Good, but it is so apropos in this discussion that I shall use it to establish the point I am bringing out. Mrs. Eddy says, quote, the more I understand true humanhood, the more I see it to be sinless, as ignorant of sin as is the perfect maker. Close quote. Now it is certain that humanhood, or the human mind, is not the product of the divine mind. That must be clear to all. And yet she says that the more she understands true humanhood, the more she perceives it to be as sinless as the perfect maker. Therefore, the human mind, or true humanhood, resolves itself into a state of consciousness, the only distinctive feature of which is localization. It is simply a state of consciousness capable of receiving sin because of its claim to localization. Because of its claim to localization, that is, its claim to existence as a state of consciousness not founded on a sense of the infinite, it is therefore capable of accepting or rejecting that which argues for finity instead of the infinite. That which argues for the finite is bound to be of the carnal mind or mortal mind. Mrs. Eddy says in the statement under the head of Euphrates that the human mind is a state of mortal thought. So, while true humanhood may be sinless, it is, nevertheless, a state of mortal thought. Otherwise, it would not be and could not be circumscribed and capable of accepting sin, sickness, and death. Now, as this human mind, this state of a localized consciousness, begins to take to itself, at its own volition, carnal thoughts, it begins to build up in consciousness a material world, or universe, which includes all the material phenomena of which you and I are familiar. This universe includes the mortal body, the material universe of which we are conscious, the hate, the anger, the jealousy, the sickness, the poverty, etc., with which we are daily confronted. Now, if it is possible to conceive of an individual human consciousness which has not accepted sin, sickness, and death, the only error of which is limitation or localization, it is natural to assume that the process of material salvation would be a process of elimination through the influx of the divine into the human consciousness, even to the point where the human consciousness would have returned to its perfect state of humanhood before complete spiritualization of individual existence can become possible. To illustrate, let us assume that here is a state of individual human consciousness whose only error is limitation or localization, circumscription. This human mind or consciousness begins to take to itself thoughts of the carnal mind until it has built up a material universe for itself, which includes a material world, a material body, material people, etc. We will assume, by way of further explanation, that this material universe and body, which this individual human mind has constructed, becomes complete and mature without any carnal accompaniments of inharmony, sin, sickness, poverty, hate, malice, and the like. A world which, from a human standpoint, would be a perfect place in which to live. Then this human mind, or this human consciousness, takes to itself a larger complement of mortal mind, such as sin, hate, revenge, fear, worry, poverty, old age, decrepitude, dishonesty, fault-finding, incompatibility, selfishness, petulance, impatience, self-will, human knowledge, the wisdom of material erudition, and the like. All of these various phases of thought are, from the very nature of material existence, included in the universe and body which the individual human consciousness has created before it accepts all of these carnal thoughts. So we might say, by way of explanation perhaps, not so much as a matter of fact, that the human mind and its creation involves three steps or stages. The first stage is the human mind without having taken to itself sin, sickness, death, and the like. It is the human belief spoken of by Mrs. Eddy in her definition of Euphrates and referred to as true humanhood in unity of good. Then comes the second stage, or a material universe and a material body, unfettered by sin, sickness, inharmony, poverty, and all these besetting ills which make for the misery of human living. Then the third state, where the human mind, through the influx of a superabundance of mortal or carnal thought, has endowed this universe and body, which it constructed, with all those besetting ills which all of us are daily trying to overcome. Those are the three stages of the human mind in the construction of the world in which you and I live. This construction is strictly individual. It must be individual because salvation is individual, and because the only explanation of its existence is individual. Carnal thoughts entertained in the human mind create our material world. Carnal thoughts entertained in the human mind endow that world with its sickness, its inharmony, its poverty, and its misery. Now, it should be perfectly clear that if the carnal mind, which creates the material world for each individual, could be freed from those thoughts which make that world an unpleasant place for mortals to live in, then the material world, for the individual whose consciousness has been thus set free, would be free from all the claims of inharmony, unhappiness, fear, worry, poverty, sickness, and the like. That is, if a human consciousness, which had arrived at the third stage of mortality, as above explained, could be free from those thoughts which constitute the third stage of material existence, then that human consciousness would revert to what we have described as the second stage of human consciousness, and the individual would then be living in a world of his own creation, which world would be free from sin, sickness, poverty, inharmony, unhappiness, and the like. And this second stage would be what I have heretofore referred to as a state of human perfection. That is, perfection from the standpoint of a consciousness which is still human. Now, this second state of human consciousness, or the human mind, is arrived at in but one way, and that is through the influx into the human mind of divine ideas, which cancel just that much of carnal thought which has heretofore been manifesting itself in our material world. Carnal thoughts are manifested in a material world. Divine ideas, taken into human consciousness, cancel these carnal thoughts, and thus eliminate that much of the carnal in our world. In this manner, and through this explanation, we are not spiritualizing matter or our material world, but we are spiritualizing thought. And this spiritualization of thought takes away from our world just that much of the carnal and leaves the balance of our world that much less material.